morning, everyone. We are now convening the June 13, 2005 session of the House Budget Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. Today we'll be having a public meeting on the Board of Investigators budget and their agency. I'd like to begin with Mr. Borden's kind of overview.
I'd like to thank you, Chair Richardson. I'd like to point out several things for the committee. There is currently a substantive legislation, House Bill 2117B, on its way to the floor seeking to abolish the Oregon Board of Investigators and transfer the board's statutory duties and responsibilities to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. There are really two reasons why we're having the public hearing today. One is if HB 2117B is passed by both chambers and becomes law, the committee will then need to consider a six-month budget for the board as it transitions to DPSST. The option two would be if 2117B fails to become law, in which case the subcommittee will need to consider a 24-month budget for the board. And that budget may be substantially reduced from its current levels or require additional revenue to be raised. For today, there'll be Linda Gilbert will do a budget management overview of the agency, and Kelly Page will discuss the overview of the agency specifically on its roles and responsibilities, the prioritized list, reduction options, and performance measures. And then the agency will also discuss in detail HB 2117B and the possible abolishment of the agency and the transfer. And then we'll learn a little bit from the agency about what brought them to this juncture to seek abolishment and what other options were considered. And then we'll briefly discuss the two likely scenarios that will play out when work session is scheduled after the determination of HB 2117B. The agency has did not have any budget notes, emergency board actions, or audit findings. The governor's budget is about 15.9% above the prior bindings budget and includes one policy package for the expansion of the board's Portland office building.
Okay. Yes, sir. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. Mr. Borden, is there any known opposition to 2117B?
To my knowledge, no. The Department of Public Safety Standards and Training has been working closely with the board in budget management on this issue, and perhaps the agency can speak to it more specifically, but not to my knowledge.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
President Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is Mr. Borden, the if that bill passes, would the agency itself be housed at the new training center?
Mr. Chair, Chair Richardson, Representative Hanna, the agency would be reconfigured. The agency would be abolished, absorbed within a subcommittee of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, and the department would then reconfigure the way it's providing this service.
Follow up?
Representative Hanna.
So, given that what was an agency would not be an agency, it would be within the DPSST organization, would those who perform those duties have physical office space continue to be in the Portland office building, or would they be housed at the new DPSST training center?
Chair Richardson, Representative Hanna, the physical location of the duties and responsibilities would be at the new facility of the DPSST. And just for clarification, if you're asking about existing employees, that gets the measure has a specific piece in there where the existing employees may not necessarily transfer to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training.
Okay. Without further questions at this point, then Linda Gilbert, we could receive your kind of overview.
Thank you, Chair Richardson. Good morning, members of the subcommittee. We are working from the document that looks like this, and I believe that's a document we haven't seen for quite some time. We're doing phase one and two, as it were, for the Board of Investigators. On page two of this document, we see that we are in the program area for consumer and business services. The Board of Investigators, with respect to their all-funds budget, is 0.1% of that program area. There is no general fund for this board. On page three, we see, again, that all of their revenue is other funds. It's $497,383 expenditures, not revenue. The sources of revenue are mostly licensing and registration fees. There's a little bit of miscellaneous charges for things like photocopies and so forth. On page four, this is the budget by program unit. There is one, so we can breeze right past this one. On page five, the budget is broken into budget categories, and it has two: personal services at about 62% for 2.5 full-time equivalent positions, and services and supplies at 38%. The two largest lines within that are state government service charges and attorney general charges. Those two together make up about 39% of the agency services and supplies budget. Moving to page six, we have the historical version of the agency's budget. I would point to the 15.9% increase. That's the change from in the governor's recommended budget from the legislatively approved budget for 0305. And there are a couple reasons for that. Personal services increases certainly drive that increase, and because personal services make up 62% of the budget, that becomes a big driver. There are pension obligation bonds, the PERS rate, and an OPE rate of 37%. Within services and supplies, as we mentioned, the big drivers are state government service charges and attorney general charges. On the next page, we begin to discuss major policy issues. As my good colleague has pointed out, House Bill 2117 will probably take up most of our discussion and most of our attention. It was originally developed to, it was introduced to eliminate some exemptions, some people who are exempted from licensing, to discuss or to address retention of penalties and some other housekeeping issues. Between the time the bill was introduced and after the governor's recommended budget was introduced, it became quite apparent that the board in its present configuration could not sustain. In other words, there were not enough investigators paying their licensing fees every 2 years to provide sufficient revenue for the board to go on in its current configuration. And for that reason, what's eventually come to happen is several management options were considered. The one that seemed to be the best fit was the one that moved the functions of licensing and regulation into Department of Public Safety Standards and Training and abolishing the board. And so now House Bill 2117 includes that abolishment and transfer of functions. But we will be talking about that a good deal more, particularly in work session. As stated before, the cost drivers, for the most part, are personal services and attorney general and state government service charge inflation. And that concludes what we have on page 7. On page 8, with respect to fee or revenue issues, there are two new fees that are proposed in House Bill 2117. This says two new temporary fees. That is not to say that the fees are temporary, but it is to say that the fees are for temporary licensure for instance, investigators that come in from another state and could purchase a license for as long, but no longer than 3 months to operate with from out of state, or investigators who haven't received their permanent license yet but who are employed by a licensed investigator could temporarily work. With respect to technical adjustments, one right away is the There will be a rent reduction. The governor's budget included a package that anticipated expanding the square footage in the Portland State Office Building that the agency would be using. And that was in accordance with DAS facilities standards with respect to number of square feet per full-time equivalent. Their current space is quite small. However, given that this board is in all likelihood not going to continue and certainly not going to continue in its current configuration, that package is being withdrawn. It was about, I think, $14,000. And that will go away as a technical adjustment. And with that, I am concluded with this overview. Has anyone any questions?
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Kelly Page. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, Chair Richardson, members of the committee. My name is Kelly Page. I'm the lame duck executive director of the Oregon Board of Investigators. I would like to refer you to the handout with starts out with agency mission and statutory authorities and give you a brief overview of this agency. It was created by the 1997 Oregon State Legislature to license and regulate the industry governing private investigations.
Tell me how many other states, how widely regulated are private investigators?
I believe that at this point there are only 8 states that do not license private investigators.
Okay, thank you.
So we were kind of late to the party. But the majority of states do license private investigators. The licensure was actually mostly driven by industry. Industry really wanted to have licensure, basically for professional reasons. Also, there were some federal rules that were passed, and only licensed investigators have access to DMV records, to certain database information, so the industry was very anxious to have licensure. Also, I believe that that this definitely protects the public. We've had some really interesting compliance cases in the 3 years that I've been there, and I think this that licensing and regulation is necessary to protect the public. I believe also that when the board was created, that industry wanted to create an independent board, and they felt they would have more policy control than if it went into a larger agency. I believe at the time of creation, sending it to DPSST was considered, but that industry wanted to have an independent board. Right now, the board is responsible for determining the qualifications of investigators, for alleging rule violations, statutory violations. We do investigate complaints that come in about private investigators. We prescribe fees. We administer a test of competence for investigators. And we have formulated a code of professional ethics and maintained requirements for continuing education. We have a small staff. I'm the executive director and agency head and budget manager and HR manager and legislative coordinator and PR person, web mistress, all of that. We have a licensing specialist, an OS2 position that processes all the licenses, and we have a half-time enforcement investigator. He works part-time.
And now there's a full-time FTE for relicensing or for licensing?
Yes. Yes, sir. And then all 3 staff respond to inquiries from all constituency groups, consumers, licensees, applicants, other state local agencies, and professional associations. There's a professional association called the Oregon Association of Licensed Investigators that is fairly active, and we work pretty closely with them. And over the last 3 years, I've gone to several continuing education seminars and made presentations about board activities. Legislation this session, we do have House Bill 2117. We began work on this legislative concept in the summer of 2003, thinking that we would have a different outcome than we do at this point. But there's a lot in this bill that I think strengthens the statute regarding the licensing and regulation of private investigators, and DPSST is very happy with some of the changes we've made that have been made to the statute as it's made its way through. One of the parts of the proposed legislation that didn't go through was kind of a change in the definition of investigative activities and some exemptions to licensure. There were some groups we felt were performing investigative activities. They did not want to be licensed, and so in order to facilitate the passage of the rest of the legislation, those provisions were dropped. The board has one program, basically, but three major components, and those are licensing, regulation, and agency administration. The licensing component is the board's number one priority. We're statutorily obligated to issue licenses to qualified applicants, and all the other board functions flow from this activity. Compliance enforcement is the board's number two priority. Again, we're statutorily obligated to investigate complaints that consumers or other groups have about private investigators. And our mission is to protect the public by making sure that the statute is enforced. The program component is primarily staffed by the part-time enforcement investigator, but I've done also a lot of compliance work over the last 3 years. And we work closely with our Attorney General on these cases. And then agency administration. Many administrative tasks are required to operate a state agency. And if the board functions of licensing and regulation go to DPSST, this would be the major cost savings in this move. I am the number one line item in the budget, my salary and benefits. And so as the agency head, there's a lot of people over at DPSST who do what I do, so eliminating this position would create some savings for the licensing function if it went to DPSST.
Would there not also be at least a half an FTE for the licensing person?
Pardon me?
If we're talking about 700 people total, including provisional licenses, a full-time person to do 700, and you have like six people in the Board of Nursing with 20,000 to 30,000, mm-hmm. seems like that may be a position where the person has the extra time.
I believe right now that there might be some savings. She does... the current person also does some work for the enforcement investigator and administers the exams and does a lot of work. It appears to be a full-time position for her. So, but there might be some savings when you go to a larger agency. They're planning right now on having a full-time OS2 position for the clerical functions and increasing the enforcement investigator to a full-time person. That's the proposal, the draft proposal that I've seen.
Presently, what's the amount of time the investigators, is it a part-time now?
He's part-time, yes,
0.5?
Yes, sir.
So the goal is to abolish the agency but increase the FTEs, except that your position would be eliminated?
Yes, sir.
But increase the other?
I believe the one draft proposal that I saw would eliminate my position. And so basically it would go from 2.5 FTE to 2 FTE.
Okay.
Currently, we...
Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Chair, or Mr. Borden, did we approve that as part of the DPSST budget? Did we authorize them, or is that all going to be with this bill?
Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, that will be considered once we know. It is not currently in DPSST's budget, but will be considered later once we know the final determination of the Board of Investigators. So Doug Wilson and I and Linda have visited about this, and it will be rolled into a separate bill, and that is yet to be determined.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Mr. Wisnett.
Mr. Borden, then, does LFO, have you got a recommendation? Are we going to talk about this later as far as how many FTEs should be given to DPSST for this responsibility?
Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, that will be a future discussion for the subcommittee to have with Doug Wilson. I believe Doug will develop his recommendations based on the information at hand to present to the subcommittee. So right now, Legislative Fiscal does not have a recommendation on that portion of on that change to DPSST's budget.
Just follow up to that, Mr. Chair.
President Wisnett.
Mr. Chair, because it's obvious that the few people you have have sort of crossed over and done other functions, and that's you have to do that in a small organization to get the job done. But you know, when you're looking at if that to make a decision, it's too bad because actually what you're telling us is the licensed person was a .5, and she also did .5 in enforcement. Is what I'm hearing you say. So when you're trying to look at transferring a function, it'd be nice to have those FTEs really, what are they doing and what are we transferring? What's the new organization going to look like? Because it's sort of confused. You've overlapped to get the job done. I understand that and appreciate that. But the one FTE in licensing was not justified for 750 members compared to some of the other commissions that we have, the workload.
Well, we'll need to discuss this with the budget chair because that has a lot of influence on what the final recommendations are. And we also have to look at the reality that this is not going just into a new location, but DPSST already does this kind of work for security agents or security guards.
Yeah.
And so it means they already have in place people that are doing this. And so to increase... like as an investigator, when you already have investigators for security agents for compliance or whatever needs to be done there, it would mean that essentially either it's working under capacity now or that DPSST has a need for increased capacity because they're going to be picking up this responsibility on top of what they're already doing. And so that just needs further review. Representative Hansen.
Well, I'll come down probably on the opposite side in terms of how much further review it needs. We're transitioning to a different agency. We're talking about a couple FTE. How DPST orients those people and how they position them and how they redo those functions, I would imagine it'll take them a while to sort it all out. I'll come down probably from the side that we need to just move some people, move some positions, let the management issues and stuff of those work themselves through the next biennium, and then at that point workload issues and stuff can be reevaluated, and we can really see how it works and how things fit and how missions fit. And I'm not an expert in terms of whether the same type of investigation and compliance for private investigator is the same as a private security person, whether you have the same skill sets and stuff. I would think on paper you probably do, but I think it's something that we could probably let Director Menace sort out for a biennium and then come back and fine-tune it. But I don't...
She's saying expand by 100% the amount of time on investigating, go from half-time to full-time as part of this transition, so I'm just saying that'll have to be looked at, but certainly you're right that we can't micromanage that transition. That's what we know. Anything else?
I'm done.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Yes.
Part of the proposal is that, excuse me,
let's go.
That the board... expect me to identify myself.
Only when you change over, because people
yeah.
may be listening to this.
Linda Gilbert, DAS Budget Management. Part of the proposal includes allowing the Board of Investigators to continue for 6 months in its current configuration. And the reason for that is that that gives time to wind down the board's business, to make the transfers that are necessary with respect to property and funds, and to give a fairly good portion of time to fine-tune the planning before the actual transfer takes place. I think that makes a more comfortable transfer than attempting to make this effective July 1. And again, that's if this all comes down this way in work session, and that is if House Bill 2117 passes both chambers in its current form.
Thank you. Let's continue, Ms. Page.
Thank you, Chair Richardson. I wanted to point out that currently we have been trying to achieve some cost savings by sharing various equipment and services with other small boards located on the same floor. We all share a copy machine. We share IT services with the Board of Nursing. Our computer is on a Board of Nursing server. So there's a lot of little boards, mostly health-related licensing boards on that floor. And so we've attempted to achieve some cost savings by working with those other boards. On page 4 of the handout are reduction options that were developed a while back, the 10% reduction option and 15% reduction options. I believe that if this all happens, it will some of those will be further reduced in the budget. Currently, on page 5, performance measures, right now the Oregon Board of Investigators has no primary links to the Oregon benchmarks. The performance measures that we've been working with and that were proposed for 2005-07 were linked to the agency's mission of ensuring that only qualified persons were licensed as investigators and that appropriate standards of competency and practice were established. So our performance measures are related to the time it takes to issue a license once all required materials have been gathered by the agency, the time in which we initiate complaint investigations once we receive a complaint request, and that applicants are for licensure are given supervised examinations. When agency began, the qualifying examinations were administered by mail, and we found there were some problems with that plan. So a couple of years ago, we started giving proctored or supervised exams. But we have set up methods of doing that around the state so that people don't have to come to Portland to take the exam, through mostly through community colleges around the state, and that's worked out quite well. That's all I have.
Okay, other questions?
Well, I have a quick question. I apologize if you've already said this, but
sure.
Are you wanting this, or is this the effect of an amendment as this budget bill went through, or?
Well, looking at the budget, we were, when I, looked at the figures, and we're a relatively new agency, so I'm kind of constantly running the numbers to see how things are going. When I first developed the budget, I thought we would be able to make it through the 2005-2007 biennium and have a very small ending balance. After the latest round of renewals, it appeared that our initial licensures were declining and that the renewals were declining. Not as many people as we anticipated were renewing their license, and we were going to wind up with a negative ending balance by the end of June of 07. So we started having discussions about what we could do to rectify that situation. So you wind up with increasing fees, slashing staff, increasing the number of licensees, which if other portions of 2117 had passed, that would have accomplished that, but that didn't happen. The licensees were averse to having their fees increased, understandably. And, you know, we could limp along with slashing staff to one person, but then I don't feel we would be fulfilling the mission of protecting the public and providing good customer service to the investigators if there was only one person sitting in the office. So then it became, well, maybe the efficient thing to do is to look to a larger agency to take over these licensing and regulation functions. And so we talked to a couple of agencies, and DPSST seemed to be the best fit and the most willing to take us on. So, you know, there are people who don't want to, a lot of people who don't want to see the independent board go away, and I've certainly enjoyed my job there, but on the other hand, I don't want to be the only person sitting in the office trying to do the work of 2.5 people. I don't think it would serve the public or the licensees very well. So it seemed like the best compromise.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You've got 678 people licensed. Can you go back a few years and tell us how that is that grown, the total number? And also talk to me about a provincial investigator. What is that?
Okay. Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, when the board started, I believe there were about 400-plus investigators who became licensed right away. So this would be in the summer of 98. And so it's increased since then. We've gotten more licensees, but not all those people have renewed. So it seems to be something that people kind of transition in and out of. We've issued probably 1,400 initial licensees, but we only have, you know, of all those people that we've issued to, only about a 50% renewal rate. So it's really just not keeping up. And a provisional investigator is a person who comes into the field with fewer than 1,500 hours of experience. So they get a provisional license, and after they've achieved a certain level of education and or work experience, the provisional endorsement is removed from the license, and they become a private investigator.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, one follow-up. Do you have a continuing education? Like, do they have to attend some annual briefings on new statutes and laws as far as investigation and things like that?
Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, we do have a required continuing education, and there's a wide variety of specialties in this field, and so they're required to have 32 hours of continuing investigation during the two-year period, and that we allow them to go to attend seminars in their field that would be good for their specialty.
I just mentioned that in my 25 years as an attorney, I've used many investigators over the years. Usually they're retired police officers, and when this took place and this was implemented, I was using a retired captain from USP who retired after 25 years, and he had to pay, you know, $500 or whatever the number was, and it becomes very complicated to make sure that the public is protected when there may or may not be a need for the whole bureaucracy to do that when you're using people that have that kind of experience. But he just decided, you know, it's not worth the hassle to do this, and because it wasn't a career for him, it was something that he was doing just to kind of stay in it. And so you have a lot of turnover in the budget narrative. It says that there's a 25% non-renewal for private investigators and 50% non-renewal or upgrade for provisional investigators. So you have a huge percentage of people that don't finish or don't stay with it.
I have one follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. Do we know yet what DPSST's plans, like, I remember it came up that they were going to charge investigators to go through their training. Is that anything you're aware of or discussed with them?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just more comment than question. I really appreciate you stepping forward the way you did. One, where we really get in problems is with a small agency trying to make it work for one more biennium when it's not really in the cards. That's when we have problems, and I really appreciate the leadership you've shown in terms of looking through this, even though there's probably significant personal sacrifice, but being willing to do what's best for the agency and best for the people you're serving is real important, and I think I've tracked this. I was on the general government Ways and Means sub in 99, which was the first biennium that it came back. And it is tough in terms of a small agency to generate enough money to operate requires relatively high licensing fees. And this isn't an area, an activity that those are easy to get, and it's more, in some cases it's more of a cottage industry or part-time retired people, and you can't increase the fees kind of unlimited. Mm-hmm. So it puts a real vice, and then if as the fees go up, you could end up spending all of your time on compliance issues in terms of people working without a license rather than the quality of the investigators that are going on. So I really commend you for taking the direction that you did and being as thoughtful in terms of how to resolve it as you have been. Thank you.
Further questions? We appreciate very much you coming in and giving us this overview, and we will see what the fate is on 2117. Mr. Borden, is there anything else that we need to discuss today?
Chair Richardson, I think that's it. We'll schedule a work session as soon as we do know 2117B's fate, and LFO will have the recommendations prepared dependent upon that outcome, either recommendations for a six-month budget or recommendations for a full biennium budget.
Okay. Sounds good.
Mr. Chair, do we know when that bill's coming up?
No.
Questions, comments? Not. We will adjourn.
Thank you.
Okay. Jump time.